Don't think you are alone. You are not alone. It's a good morning to you. Welcome. This is France Sinengera, the most reliable kinetic energy in town. And of course, this is Eagle Events, most advanced and self-propelled Katusha. Good morning. And this is Realm of the Historics. We are taking off. I'm just inviting you to be part of the conversation while we are there. Because once we take off, we are taken off. Or we have taken off. It's a good morning once again, and let me today, because you know the whole of last month we have been bombarding on the issue of culture, and I think almost becoming boring to you, but I just wanted to chase a topic, a series, so that we understand that we made it very much easier for the destruction of our own culture, ourselves. Because most of the time we talk about others, how they have come and what they have done to us. And we forget about our contribution towards what happened. And I don't want to take you back there, because you know, our own application, that is the Eagle FM app, will do justice, and of course our website. Our website, which is the www.eaglefm.com.na, and the Eagle FM app will do justice by taking you back to all those podcasts, you know, of the old Realm of the Historics, where you can go and listen much into details. So I am not going there, but what I can tell you before I introduce our topic for this month, you need to understand how much we fail to be responsible and how much we fail to be accountable, whether it is in our own individual life or in our corporate, you know, world, or, you know, family and so forth. You refuse to be responsible and you refuse to be accountable. And some of you, you want to push your responsibility to your sisters, to your brothers, to your uncles, and so forth. Because you yourself refuse to be responsible and to be accountable. And that's why you will always blame somebody for your own, you know, failures. You will always point a finger to someone. But lucky enough, you know, we have five fingers. That if you point one finger to somebody, on somebody's face, four fingers are pointing back into your chest. Which means you have four witnesses against you. You have one witness, which is one finger that you are pointing against somebody or towards somebody, but then you have four fingers. Pointing to you. You have four fingers pointing to you. That's not what I'm talking about today. We are going to find it when we go. Today, because last week we dealt with taboos and superstitions, and we wanted to make a difference. That taboos are in the culture. Superstitions are supernatural. They are not cultural. That's what we dealt with last week. And if you want to hear more about that, I told you that our website and app will do justice to that. You can go back and listen to, and in fact, some of you are writing books using Eagle FM content. And you are not even saying thank you or not even a sign of any appreciation. I know that. I know people that have written, that are writing books from Realm of the Historics. But that is Eagle FM content. So, we will have intellectual properties, you know, put in place. But be it as it may, we thank you that you follow and you listen. And in fact, you take interest in content that we bring out. That's, to me, one good thing. But please don't forget to recognize the source of your wisdom. You know, we are in the world of economic competition where recognizing that, you know, according to Eagle FM, the culture is like this and this and this and this. You make reference, you know, because this is our intellectual property. Today we are looking at the, forgive my voice today, I don't want to bombard you with a very powerful katusha that I am. But, it will escalate. Today we want to look at belief. What is belief? How do you come to the point of believing something? And in fact, even being fanatic about it, you become fundamentalist, you know, you become a fundamentalist and a fanatist, and a fanatic about it. And in fact, you even want to die for that, or you want to kill for what you believe in. How do you come to that level? What is belief? Is it a state of mind? is it? What is it? What is it? What is belief really? And now we will look into both good and bad about belief. Because, you know, it is what we believe in that is having the potential to in fact break or make you. So what you believe in breaks or makes you. And there are a lot of beliefs or belief systems and stereotypes that exist even in our culture. And today I'm going to put our culture to at least rest. I'm not going to talk about anything cultural today. Let me talk about politics and religion. Because whether we like it or not, Namibia is both political and religious. We have a large, and those are the largest groups in Namibia. The political and the religious group, they are the largest group in Namibia, and we should learn to live with that fact. We should learn to live with that fact. So, Namibia has two largest groups. The religious and the political groups. In religion, they do crusades. In politics, they do rallies. So, and all that is aimed to address a person, to instill a certain, you know, belief in them. That now leads to faith to a certain extent. Now, in religion, there is really no faith. In religion, there is belief, which becomes legalistic. The same in politics. It becomes legalistic. You know, in politics, we don't even say belief, we say ideology. In politics, we use it by saying your ideology, where you stand. You know, what you believe in. In religion, we call it belief or doctrine. Yes. In religion, we call it doctrine. But in faith, we have what we call sound doctrine. And I'm not going to go and talk about faith today because I don't want to talk about something that you will find difficult to understand and relate to. In as much as we want to keep it simple and short, we are sometimes tempted to go deeper, depending on the level of, I mean, the intensity of the discussions that we have. So, now, what you believe in can either make or break you. What you believe in can break or make you. or you can either make or break others through what you believe. Maybe let me include culture here. Since I wanted to avoid culture, let me include culture. Now, some of the beliefs that we had was that we start with politics. We believe that we are where we are because of, you know, some white people. That's our political doctrine. We were colonized. Okay, fine, that's historical fact. So, but we are where we are today because a white person continues to colonize. That's our faith in politics. That's what we believe in. That's our doctrine. We also believe that we have the best rule of law, the best order of rule of, as far as rule of law is concerned. We believe that others are dictators and we are democratic. That is what we believe. And in politics, we believe that democracy is the answer to all, to everything. We believe in our constitution that is the supreme law of the land. And then we believe that our courts are independent. We believe that our courts are totally independent from, you know, executive and legislative bodies. We also believe in our legislative bodies that they are also independent. They don't have executive influence. So that is our belief, and we preach it. We also preach, we believe that by 2030 we will be industrialized. That's our belief. So that's our doctrine, and we talk about it. That's why we have the Bible that is written about that, Bible scriptures. Now, when I'm talking about Bible scriptures, I mean the, you know, political Bible that is our NDPs. That's Namibia's, you know, kind of like Bible. You put the constitution there and all acts and the laws. That's Namibia's political Bible. And we quote it and we say, according to this, this is what we are. This is who we are. So I'm just starting from the scratch, you know, just scratching the surface so that when we climb higher, you know where we are coming from. You know, so that we know that there are certain beliefs that have robbed us of logical capacity. And there are some certain beliefs that continue to rob us of logic, the capacity of logical thinking. And we perpetrate that, you know, knowingly or unknowingly. So, and in fact, at some point we even become fanatic, that we become enemies because this person believes this and this one believes this. So we create hatred and boundaries, and we create barriers, and we even stop, you know, talking to one another because of what I believe in, which you don't believe in. And in the time past, it created wars. We have fought wars. You know, we fought wars because of what we believe in. We fought wars because of what we believe in. You know, there were wars, and now we even say there is holy war. There is no holy war. War is war. You see, but we believe that there are there is a holy war. That's now religion. So, and we believe that we are doing God a favor, or a favor, by killing others. In the name of God. And we preach that. You know, it is even written in some of our religious books, how we should deal with with those who don't believe. We should kill them and crucify them. So that's a belief that has made, or that has broken, you know, some people. And in fact, India, what led to the partition of India, or the partitioning of India, is because of of belief. Because some people believed that they are more better than others. Like there was the Islamic group that believed that they were better than the Hindus, that they were more supreme and more human than the Hindus. And therefore, they could do anything. If you kill a Hindu, you have done a religious service for God. And there was a partition. Today we have Pakistan born because of that. And after some years, we started to have Bangladesh. Bangladesh was also born out of that because some people, especially the Pakistani side, because Bangladesh is also coming out of Pakistan. Pakistan comes out of India. And then Bangladesh comes out of Pakistan. So what happened in the 1970s was that the Pakistani side of things thought that they could speak Urdu, and that Urdu is not only the official language, but is the holy language, one of the holy languages, Urdu and Arabic. So I said, no, we are not Urdu-speaking people. Neither are we Arabic-speaking, Arab-speaking people. We are Bengal. We speak our language, Bengal. And that is what we want to speak. And then the Pakistani side of things thought to crush the rebellion. You know, and that's when India stepped in to assist the Bangladeshi side, who wanted to be independent and to speak their language. So those are beliefs. And we start them step by step. And in fact, we transform our minds towards that type of, you know, we build it around, we build it and it becomes a mindset. It becomes a mentality. And then because we do not have a logical power to convince people logically, we become combative. Because that's the only way. Because violence comes as a result of, you know, lack of logical capacity. Because if you have a philosophical and logical capacity to convince people, you are able to convince them without any violence. But violence comes when you fail to reason. You know, when you fail to reason, violence comes. So in history we know, and even in the biblical history, when the Pharisees, that is a Jewish religious sect, they took stones, wanting to stone, you know, Jesus when he was talking to them. He was reasoning with them, but because they did not have the capacity to reason, they resorted into violence. Okay? So, we become combative when we fail to reason. Because a belief is built by individuals. And then, in the process of passing it on, like spreading it, there is a need to reason it out with the next person so that that person should understand. But because you do not have reason, you can't reason, you end up being violent. And then you become a religious fanatic. Because personally, I believe, and this is my God-given, you know, school of thought, I believe that there is nothing beyond intellectual debate. That is what I believe. So I believe that there is nothing beyond intellectual, you know, intellectual debate. Everything we need to reason through it and find at least a common ground. So that when I join your sect, I understand fully, and in fact I can explain and pass it on to somebody else. But if it becomes a do or die thing, then something is wrong. You know, something becomes wrong. Why is it a do or die? I mean, even God, if God will impose his will on a human being and not allow a human being to ask questions or to reason, then that God is paranoid. You see, then that God is paranoid and should not be followed at all, should not be worshipped, because the relationship between you and God should be mutual. There must be fellowship between you and God. But if it is just a do or die situation, then we are having a problem. Now, imagine if women, when you go to girls, you have to speak their language, the language that they understand. You know, you need to convince them so that when the answer comes, you wait for answers. Some of you were bitten by mosquitoes waiting for answers from girls. You try to speak language, good language, you are humble, but you see, your voice to me is like thunder. Boom, 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 boom. But when you go to a girl, then you calm down. Why? Because you want to, you want to create a mutual understanding between you and her. You want to create an impression. So you want to create an impression. But if you say, if you say no, I'll punch you. That will not work. Because you, look, a human being goes to the point of saying, look, you can do what you want. Do what you want. I'm not going to follow you. I'm not going to believe in what you are telling me. That's a human being. A human being can even say to God, I'm not going to believe you. So that's a human being. So, you don't impose your belief on anyone. Whether it is political or religious. The reason why I want to separate culture from here is because in culture, we have a harmonious way of communicating. Because in culture, you are allowed to observe. In culture, you are allowed to observe. And you say, oh, so this is how...
When life gifts you a washing machine that just quit, take control with Express Credit. Borrow up to $32,000. Same day approval. Visit www.expresscredit.com.na or SMS gift to 32274.
So you said, so this is how the Oshiwambo people do things. Now, I was in a heated debate. I found a heated debate one day. Somebody said, why do you call chicken, marathon chicken, Oshiwambo chicken? And it was a going on, you know, debate. And I picked up something when it comes to Ovambo people and Ovaherero. What is between Ovambo people and the Ovahereros is the same thing that is between the Mafwes and the Subias. Same WhatsApp group. So, you know, they were debating, yeah, even the fish from Katima, is they are not your fish, but you call them Oshiwambo fish. So me being well versed with Oshiwambo, and you know, my Lozi, you know, culture, my understanding in that debate was very different, because I tapped from both. Now, when I came to solve the debate, because it was becoming, you know, it was ending up almost in a fight. But you know how people become tribal fanatic. They become tribal fanatic. It comes, you know, it also comes from the belief. When you believe that your tribe is supreme, when you see your tribe more supreme, more superior to others, you carry that belief system that creates a stereotype, that becomes a mentality. And then it becomes toxic, not to the people, but to you. You become the toxic. And you start to spill that fanatic venom. You know, the tribal fanatic venom, whether it is a political fanatic venom or it is a religious fanatic venom. You start to spew it because you are corrupted by your own belief. But you still have a desire to pass it on to somebody else. But you don't have a language apart from being combative and being violent. So, I said, look, they say it's Oshiwambo chicken. Not because the chicken itself is Oshiwambo. No. It is called Oshiwambo chicken because of the way it is prepared. They call it Oshiwambo chicken because of the way they prepare it. Not because the chicken is Oshiwambo. There's no, what logic is that? I mean, really? How do you even come into a fight just because somebody says it's Oshiwambo chicken? That's branding. You know, that's just branding. It is called Oshiwambo because of the way they cook it or the way they prepare it. That's what makes it to become, when you are eating it, if Marathon chicken is cooked in Katima, that's not Oshiwambo chicken. Oshiwambo chicken is when a November person cooks it. It becomes Oshiwambo chicken automatically. That's the understanding. Just like the breams, the bubble fish or catfish, they call it Oshiwambo chicken, yes. I mean, Oshiwambo fish, yes. Catfish does not just, we cannot just limit it to Zambezi. Catfish has been caught around the Etaka area for many years. I think 200 years ago, there was a river in Ondonga area, which, you know, it just dried up. Yeah, some 200 or 300 years ago, there was a river. So it does not really mean that the Oshiwambo people don't know fish. They know fish. Not as we know the fish, but the catfish are caught around, you know, they used to catch it around the Kanjengedi area there when the flood comes. Though, you know, they are not, they catch the immature, you know, catfish. But they call it Oshiwambo fish because of the way they prepare the fish. So, if the chicken, if the hand that is preparing that chicken is not a Vambo hand, the chicken is not Oshiwambo. That's the understanding. So, but that is not a mentality of superiority. No, it's just branding. So we need to make a difference between, you know, superiority and branding, you know, or marketing. So this is, to me, the way I understand it. And I don't mean to be pro who or pro anti what, but it's my understanding because I have lived in among the Vambo people for 25 years. So, my understanding about them is very deep. Apart from me speaking the language natively. So, but we have become tribal fanatics because we have been deceived to believe that we were the best, no other tribe. And that is, you know, that has limited us in other ways And that type of belief limits you from learning from others. Because if you have a mentality of thinking that you are the best, you will never learn from anyone. That is a very bad belief. And it can break you, or it has broken some of us, especially when we become tribal, political, and religious fanatics. We have lost a lot. So, I have been with a Muslim, you know, in school. Most of my fellow, you know, Christians, they will, you know, they will not really want to accommodate him. Then I said, no, if you want to, your time to recite your Quran, or you want to do something, you can come to our room. Yeah, if in your room, people are disturbing you. So you can come to our room. So we allow him to be there. And he recites his Quran there. Because that does not affect me. In fact, you give the person interest to also open up and learn from you. So, but belief prevents us from tapping from each other. Because belief deceives us to believe that we are the best and nobody else. This is what prevented Pharisees. You know, during the time of Jesus, there was a competition between him and the Pharisee, the religious sect from the temple. So, when people come to Jesus, they ask him questions, and he answers questions. And he feeds them. Or people like, the people that were rejected in those days were tax collectors. Like tax collectors those days, we talk about Namra today, you know, at the same Shivute. In those days, they were not accepted at all. They were regarded as the evil people against God because they were collecting tax for the Roman government. So you see Namra today. If somebody works in Namra in those days, in the times of Jesus, the belief system was you are evil. You are bad. So if any mistake you make, they will take you down. So you don't even come here. Don't come near here. We can take you down. But those are the people that you find with Jesus. You know, prostitutes. The Bible calls them prostitute. The New English. The Old English is harlots. Yeah, the harlots. Yes. But those are the people that you find with Jesus, eating with him. And that's why the religious sect did not accept him as a legitimate preacher. Or, you know, because Jesus said he was the Son of God. How can the Son of God eat with sinners and tax collectors? So they even called him a drunkard. Because their belief was, if you are a prostitute, you don't need to come near the temple. You are a tax collector? No, you don't need to come near the temple because you are filthy. So, that is the, and you see, there was a proverb of a good Samaritan, a man that was traveling from Jericho to Jerusalem. And then the thieves found him and they robbed him and beat him, wound him. The priest passed and he looked at him and he passed him by. He said, I'm not going to touch him. I'm too holy to touch a wounded person. And the Pharisees and everyone, religious people passed him by. But the good Samaritan, who is a non-believer, a non-religious person, saw this person and said, no, let me pull off. You know, he took him, ministered first aid on him, and then took him into a place where they care for the sick. And he paid for him to be cared for there. And he said, if there is anything extra, when I come back, I'll come and pay more. Please take care of him. That is to show that, you know, when you are a fanatic, your mind is closed. You are dead to conscious. So your mind is dead when you are a fanatist. Or when you are a fanatic. This word kicks me. Your mind dies. You don't reason anymore. There are people, it's belief. And it has led us into problem, confusion. Today, families don't talk. Because since you went into that church of yours, you have just created nothing but problem with everyone. You know, since you joined that new political party of yours, you have just caused nothing but problems. You don't talk, families don't talk today because of politics and because of church. Why? Because it's a belief that is created and it becomes combative and divisive. So, last year, during the elections, people were talking a lot. And there were political, you know, fanatics from both, on both sides. Especially between SWAPO and IPC. That one I have to say it. You know, very, 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 very loudly. Just like it was between SWAPO and COD, and between SWAPO and RDP, between SWAPO and APP, between SWAPO and AR, SWAPO and all those, and her children. In fact, all these parties, whether it is APP or RDP or COD or, you know, IPC or, you know, BCP, CDV, all these political parties are apples of one tree called SWAPO. So look, if an apple falls from the tree, even if it falls around palm fruit, an apple will always remain an apple and it will always be identical. Among the palm fruit. The fact that you are among palm fruit does not make you a palm fruit. You are an apple. So, it is, I mean, my logic tells me that all these political parties, whether they don't like each other, whatever they talk about each other, are all fruit of one tree. They were just from different branches. But they just one tree. So, if IPC as a party falls from SWAPO, and then it rots on the ground, you know, as an apple, the seed will be spread around. And then it germinates. It will become a what? It will become an apple. You know, whether it fell however it fell from the tree, a fruit, however the fruit falls from the tree, whether it fell, you know, shaken by a mighty wind, and then it falls, and then it rots. Once it rots, the seed spread out. The seed are spread out. And then they will germinate. And when they germinate, they will not become oranges. They will just become apple. Because apple give birth to apple. Orange bear orange. So, my logic tells me that. But your logic says, no, we are not SWAPO. We are IPC. Or we are RDP. Or we are COD. That's just a name. But the characteristics, the DNA, the chromosomes are SWAPOs. If now we talk about political biology, if it exists. So if you are talking about political biology, you are chromosomes of SWAPO, all of you. So in fact, you are likely to behave like SWAPO. Because you have the DNA of SWAPO. In fact, SWAPO is your ancestor. Just like people can boast, they can talk all they want. You know, they can talk all they want. They can say, we are not Catholic, we are Protestant, we are Evangelical Lutheran Church, we are Anglican, we are Methodist, we are Presbyterians, we are Seventh-day Adventist. You all are chromosomes of the Roman Catholic Church. Because your founders came from where? Your founders, where are they coming from? Your founders came out of the Roman Catholic Church. Period. So, if we get into religious biology, or ecclesiastical biology, let me put it that way. If we get into ecclesiastical biology, you are all chromosomes of Roman Catholic Church. You can deny it all you want. You see, you can deny SWAPO all you want, but your founders are coming out of where? They are coming out of SWAPO. Even yourselves. So, you are seeds of an apple. You can never become seeds of orange. Or you can never germinate and become orange trees. Never. That does not happen. So, but it is political fanatics that want to stir up, you know, conflict and create, you know, enmity between families. Families don't talk now because of your political formation. And in fact, families don't sit in together now because of your churches. It's a belief. Let me just expand it even, without fear or favor. So, in the 90s, you know, one thing I like of the Roman Catholic Church is that they had their own time. You know, they made terrible and embarrassing mistakes for 1,600 years. In fact, 1,700 years. They made terrible and embarrassing mistakes. And today when you're talking about Catholic, is the most collected, most composed and most organized church as we speak now. There is no church that is most composed and collected like the Roman Catholic. You can deny all that, or you can deny it all you want. Because they have learned from their mistakes. And they have taken, they have withdrawn, and they have retreated, and they have regrouped, and then refocused. Because whatever they have done in the past has given them the capacity to understand that they are not immune to embarrassment. So, when Pentecostal churches came, you know, into Namibia, the Elsin Church especially, you know, the Evangelical Lutheran Church especially, because they stood up, you know, they had this entitled, deceptive, combative mentality of thinking that they were the holiest church and that they were the perfect and true church. They had that. That belief was there. And in fact, most pastors were fanatic about it. You know, belief only dies when you are embarrassed. That's when your wrong belief start to melt. When you misrepresent yourself, or you over-represent yourself and overrate yourself, overestimate yourself, over everything yourself. There will be only one moment that will prove you all wrong. And that moment came. And that's why you will no longer hear Elsin talking about any other church now. You no longer hear about it. Why? I'm taking you there. Because everything I'm saying here are factually, historically recorded. You can go back into history. There are two embarrassments that Elsin Church went through. Three. Major. They are not even minor. Major embarrassments. Four. Yeah, there are four. I'm only going to focus on the third. On the three of them. So this is to take us to understand how dangerous our belief can be, especially when we are combative about our belief. So, when Pentecostals start to show up, in fact, there were other Pentecostal churches like the AFM churches that existed before independence, that came from South Africa in the 70s, that came with, you know, the pastors like Pastor Kandume, Pastor Nicanor, Pastor Namindi. They are the ones that brought it here. They are the apostolic faith mission. And the Pentecostal Protestant Kirk, that was an Afrikaans church. You know, where pastors, you know, black pastors will stand outside because it's a belief. You are addressed as a Kafar pastor, van Katutura Kirk. You stand there at the window because you cannot get in there. You are black. you are not a full human being. That's what the Afrikaner, you know, culture and religion believed. They were made to believe that a black person is a half human. So you have to stand at the window there. You are a Kafar pastor, or pastor van Kafar Mense. So you stand outside there, and if there is Holy Communion, you are given through the window. Because you don't share cups with them. That's a belief. And it was, and they were fanatic about it. In fact, in the Afrikaner culture, it was embedded in their mentality and understanding. The same with Portuguese. It was embedded, you know, unlike the British were a little bit, you know, open to say, okay, maybe we are not the same. Maybe we are not the same, but they were not too much too extreme, like, you know, the Portuguese and Afrikaners, huh? And the Germans, my goodness. Yeah. I mean, for the Germans, it was not even a race. It was not even a color issue. For the Germans, if you are not a German, whether you are a white person or not, if you are not a German, you are not just a, you are not a full human being. At least for the Germans, it was better because it was not really based on a color. So the Arab says, if you are not a, I mean, the Muslim says, if you are not a Muslim, you are a kafir. And the Jew says, if you are not a Jew, you are a goyim, which means you are a pagan. So now we think pagan is somebody who is not a Christian. No. You can be a Christian, but you are still a pagan because you are not a Jew. You can be a Muslim, you can still be a kafir because you are not Arabic. So whoever is not an Arab is a kafir, whether you are a Muslim or not. Whoever is not a Jew, you are a pagan, whether you are a Christian or not. In fact, the Jews don't believe in Christianity. You are not even allowed to preach Christianity in Israel. But the Christians are here in Africa defending Israel. It's a belief which became deceptive to an extent combative. So, when now in the 90s, because independence came and everybody now is expressing their religion, so some Pentecostals like Foursquare and others, you know, start to come in, doing things differently. You know, the Elsin Church came to the point of even coming to school and telling people not to join those churches that clap hands. Not to join those churches that have music instruments and in fact they say, you know, Elsin is the only church. Well, there are only three churches here. They are just Elsin, Roman Catholic, and Anglican. They were the only three churches. They went to that point of saying, those churches are nothing but business. You know, they are doing business. They are not churches. Until we started to hear money scandal in Elsin. That's embarrassment number one. One of the most embarrassing things that Elsin went through was, and I told you that the Catholic became matured, very matured, and they take things very calmly. Because they know every church, I mean, every denomination came from them. Why should they fight? They know that every denomination came from them. They don't fight. So, it is very hard to hear drama coming from the Roman Catholic now, even let alone in the newspapers, because they have learned the hard way. They have understood. They have gone through it all. They made terrible and embarrassing mistakes for 1,700 years. That is enough to make them, that's enough to calm them down. So, one of the most embarrassing issue, one of the most embarrassing event or thing that you know, that shook the Elsin Church was the mid-90s, where they rose three prophets from Elsin. I'm going to focus on two that really stood out. So, I mean no offense, because this is in public domain. This is in the public domain. This is public information. You know what I'm talking about. So, whether you are going to be offended or not, that really will be up to you. Because this information is in the public domain. Onankari became the center of, you know, topical discussion in the mid-90s, starting from 1995 up to up to the early 2000s, where huts were constructed. It's a house of God, where people even left their houses. They went there to live there in the house of God. And the prophetess now said that there will be a star that will fall. It will only fall in Onankari. And that star, it is only three churches that are written on those, on that star, that will be saved. All those, all those false claims. And in fact, the Elsin Church was at the center of it all. And to the point that we were made to wear reddish or maroon, clothes that we were tied on our wrists. And I remember very well, because I was forced to start grade one because I didn't know how to read the Braille. So I was forced to start grade one. So our teacher brought us all those, and we were all tied. Because she was our teacher was very much of a believer, you know. She believed everything. So, and everyone believed. No, she's a prophet. And today is history. Nobody's talking about it. None of those things happened. You know, because we were told that in 2000, there'll be nothing. Everything will end. The star will fall. There'll be an earthquake. Nothing will. It will only fall in Onankari, out of the whole world. The star will only come locating Onankari with GPS system. It's going to be a guided star, with GPS guided star. You know, only locating Onankari. And boom, everyone will see the light and drama will start. So, I remember coming back from the holiday, and then we start asking, what happened? Some of you that are coming from Ondonga area, tell us what happened. Said, nothing happened. And we started, you know. So, that's embarrassment number one. Embarrassment number two was you know, the issue of ghosts, your so-called ghosts or mysterious, you know, appearances in the north there, of fires and so forth, and you know, the churches will go there, and they will end up being taken down by spirits. You know, a pastor ended up being slapped or, you know, beaten up. So, and when we talk about the doctrine of casting out, you know, demons, it's something that's very, you know, complicated. And this is what Elsin pastors did not understand. They jumped into some things they don't understand, and they were embarrassed. So now, even if there is a fire or there is what, you will never see Elsin pastors going there. Because they went there with a mentality of competition to prove that they were the true church, and they were proven wrong in all scenarios. The belief will only end when you are proven wrong and you take in the embarrassment. One of the embarrassment was, you know, the belief. T.B. Joshua said in 2021 that COVID-19 was going to end. He spoke about it ending in 3 weeks, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember the date. And today we talk about T.B. Joshua as a history. He went with the end. I mean, COVID-19 did not end, in fact. It even escalated. Because after his announcement, we had the Delta variant that was most violent. Of all variants, the Delta one was dangerous. So when you overestimate yourself, it becomes very dangerous. Your end becomes very dangerous. Do you remember a prophetess that says she was going to die and rise again after 3 days? In 2013, the people gathered, I think it was Independence Stadium, if I'm not mistaken, to watch their so-called spiritual mother die and rise again. So one thing with belief is that it creates insecurity. It creates insecurity, which can only be gratified by how much drama you do. You know, the more dramatic you become is to gratify that hollowness in you, because it creates a vacuum of incompleteness. You feel incomplete. It's just something that is not just, you know, adding up. So you are forced to be dramatic. Until we hear some prophet saying, apparently, God told them to be married by the founding father. So that's how terrible and embarrassing it became. That's how terrible and embarrassing belief can become. Because belief robs you of your logical capacity and takes you into a vacuum where you will do nothing but appeasement and gratification of many and endless illusions. There is a difference between faith and belief. but I'm not going there. So, and I just want us to understand that the reason why we go to the point of punching each other, a SWAPO and a member of SWAPO and a member of RDP exchanged blows. You are exchanging blows for whom? You know, if you are a member of IPC and you are fighting a member of SWAPO, did the Tula send you to go and fight? Or did the, you know, Netumbo, who is the president of SWAPO, send you to go and fight? None of them sent you to fight. It's your own fanatic deception. And, you know, it is your own fanatic hollowness in you that makes you do drama to gratify that emptiness in you. You want to just feel it. You feel empty. You know, somebody went to slap somebody at a rally somewhere, a SWAPO. And in a political fantasy, it was really good, to the point that the NEFF, you know, president, apparently gave that person 1,000 for doing that. Fine. That is in a political fantasy. But in a logical world, I became concerned when I heard this, that somebody in a political leadership will reward somebody like that for doing such a thing. To me, it sounded an alarm.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
To me, this sounded an alarm that somebody got a 1,000 for slapping a fellow citizen at a rally. It was, you know, a political self-gratification. You know why I'm saying it sounded an alarm. We are living in a world, in a country where people are desperate, you know. Somebody walked from Divundu to Rundu to just come and see at the founding father there, and people were started to donate, you know, money to that person because they really were, you know, they were touched. It was genuine. But when somebody heard that, I'm sure somebody was attempting to walk from Oshikango to Kahao or Tapi, where there was the processions to attract the same, you know, to attract the same vibe where they can get money. Because we are living in a world where people are desperate. So I was afraid that somebody will attempt to do somebody will attempt to climb a higher stair by attempting to go and slap, for example, you know, Sophia Shaningwa at a rally. Because if this person could get 1,000 for slapping an ordinary person, it means that I might get 10,000 for slapping, you know, Sophia Shaningwa. And you know what? That would have created a very serious karatagoma. Very serious one. You see, the problem is that both you politicians And all of you that are, you know, political, you know, fanatics, you forget what is going on in other countries. You totally forget that. You know, in other countries, it takes something like that to create civil unrest, which spirals out of control and create an endless karatagoma that even you yourself as politicians will start seeking asylum from to other countries. You forget that. So you only get into the short-term fantasy because it's a political game. But you don't know how dangerous and how reckless this is. Talking about belief, you don't know how reckless that was. You see, we were not even supposed to cheer and even reward that person. I was very much alarmed. Because we are desperate in Namibia, especially. Because one genuine event happens, you know, takes place, and we want to create false events to attract the same genuine response. That's how desperate we are. So I was afraid that somebody will attempt to go to climb the higher climb, to climb a higher level of attempting to say, maybe if I slap the official, I will get a 10,000. So what will happen if you, for example, attempt, because it's your belief, you know, you create an event in your mind, you interpret it. And when you interpret it, you give it a name. And once it becomes, it starts to have a name, it has power. Then once it has power, you believe it. And when you believe it, you put it in action. You plan, you put it in action, and you anticipate the result. That's what happens. Now, it was an event in his mind. He gave it a name. And then it became powerful to the point that he believed it. And then he started planning it and planning to execute it. In fact, he put it into practice and then anticipated the result. And then the result was powerful. He got 1,000 from that. I mean, he didn't really expect the money. But it yielded fruit. That was a very successful attempt. I can call it. But it was very reckless. Because it could have triggered others to have done the same. And in fact, to have gone the higher level, which could have led us into a very serious national karatagoma. Serious one. Now, let me just create a scenario for you so that you understand how much afraid I was. I mean, and I don't want to be fanatic. But let me just create a scenario and just an example. Somebody is sitting there, had 1,000, because to somebody that does not have money, or that does not, you know, regularly have money, 1,000 is a big number. 1,000 is a big number. So, somebody sitting there, and he said, okay, this person got $1,000 from NEFF. Okay. What if in our rally, during our rally, I will try to slap the Secretary General of SWAPO? Because then I might get a 20,000. But hear me very well. I don't think NEFF sent this guy to do this. But then NEFF put itself on a very center of being accomplice. You know, being an accomplice. Because they awarded and rewarded the person for doing that. So, you know how unintentionally you can put yourself at the forefront. So, now, this person is sitting there, very desperate. We are dealing with people that maybe they have eaten, the last time they have eaten was yesterday. And today this person is sitting, planning to say, how do I get this, the next meal? And one thought comes, because a mind is like a computer connected to internet. There are always pop-ups. And you have a right to choose whether or not to open, to click on them or not. There are always pop-ups. Thoughts are just pop-ups. So, there is a pop-up say, slap General, Secretary General of SWAPO. Okay. Then this thought is intertwined. An event is created around it. It is interpreted. It is given power. It is, you know, taken from one stage to the other until the practical stage. And when practical comes, it comes with an anticipation of the result. Full anticipation is what makes people do things. Because you expect the outcome. You already see, in fact, you already see the outcome. You have already simulated the outcome in your mind. First of all, what happens is that you do simulation. Okay, people are clapping now that you have done it. It's all over Facebook, all over Twitter, all over TikTok, wherever. And then somebody comes and gives you a 20,000. And then out of that 20,000, you are already now, you know, dividing it into blocks. Some alcohol in there, your girlfriend there, whoever there. Little don't you know that you are fantasizing with using your own life, putting your life in danger. Because the Secretary General comes with security. This is the SWAPO Secretary General we are talking about. You know, which is ruling party at the helm of all the security apparatus you can talk about. So, which means you are orchestrating to carry out a very high level embarrassment. That will even reach South Africa in 2 minutes. So what you are trying to do is powerful. What you are trying to do is very powerful. In as much as it is reckless, it is very, very powerful. So, you position yourself, it's time. You position yourself and you walk, you attempt, and they block you. You try to make your way, and you are blocked because you are desperate until you feel weak. Until you feel weak, the next time you wake up, you are in the bosom of your ancestors. You see, the next time you wake up, you just felt light and you see yourself coming out of yourself. You don't understand what is going on because everything happens so fast. We are talking about security apparatus. They are not in your mind. They are not part of your simulation program. You are making simulating, you are simulating things in your mind. For an ordinary person, it's easy because you just stand up and twah, you have slapped a swapper member and you get a 1,000. But this creates a desperate anticipation. I mean, a desperate attempt in some people's mind. And, you know, I really, really appreciate the fact that that did not happen. That did not happen. And you know what? Some of you that have rewarded would have been the cause of all that. It takes only one reckless act. One, just one reckless act. And everything is up in flames. So that's why I told you that your belief can either break or make you. It can either break or make you. That's how dangerous belief is. That's why your medulla oblongata is very, very important when it comes to these things of believing, so that you use both reason. You can't be spiritual without being without your brain. Never make that mistake. You can't be political without your brain. Never make that mistake. You can never be religious without your brain. You are making a very terrible and dangerous mistake of your life. That's why you hear in a church, in some churches where, you know, a concoction is made up, brewed, mixed, and people are given to drink and they die instantly. It's belief because they have left their brain. They came. People don't understand how dangerous this thing is. You know, we don't understand, especially in Namibia, because we have been peaceful for a long time. We don't understand how reckless we can be to just blow that whole thing that we have been enjoying, the tranquility that we have been enjoying for 35 years. We can be reckless enough at once and blow it all up. And you know what? The moment we blow it up, we can never build it back. Never again. So the moment we blow this up, I can guarantee you, we can never build it back. Never. You can go and ask all those countries. You will hear it. So, I appreciate the fact that it did not happen. Look, when you lose one person, you have lost many. It doesn't matter how you lost the person. you have just lost many. There are certain things we do and we think they are heroic acts, but they are reckless and foolish acts. It doesn't matter whether they are politically sound, whether they are religiously sound, they are reckless and foolish acts. That's why I told you even last year that rallies are starting. You need to go there. Please take your brain along. Take your brain along. You can leave your notebook. You can forget your phone. Fine. But take your brain with you and make sure that you switch on your brain. Make sure that atoa kabes trabalia, or atoa kabes a trabalia. Make sure that your medulla is on, so that you are able to reason. There is nothing that is more secure in a human being than reasoning. That is one defense line that God created in a human being. The first defensive line of a human being is reason. Once you cannot reason, you become dangerous to yourself. Because it will take one reckless and foolish act and it all ends there. So what would have happened? Would this person have gotten the 20,000? Maybe. Yes, maybe no. Because now you are talking about, you are going to be dealing with the security apparandas. Security apparandi. Which was never part of your simulation. Which was never part of your dream. Because them, they have a mandate. Nothing approaches the Secretary General. That is a command they have. You will make your attempt there. Or maybe you will get there and slap her. The next thing you will do, the next thing you will see is you coming out of yourself. And you see your grandfather immediately. Look, it took just one reckless, foolish talk on radio. 800,000 people died in Rwanda. So, I'm speaking to both religious, political, and ordinary people that please, you can believe in whatever you want, but make sure your brain is with you. Make sure that your brain is with you. Okay, let me take a breather. I'm always embarrassed to to, you know, take a breather. Because I told you, I admit, you know, when it comes to music, I just play any music. So please bear with me. And if that's one thing that you can hate about my show is my choice of music. But please just bear with me. I just play the music that is there. Yeah, but it's, we need to understand that we are supposed to reason. The importance of reasoning, because beliefs alone can be dangerous.
Everybody, everybody, help me sing.
So, to end it all, as we conclude, is that one fundamental thing that you need to understand is that nobody's against what you believe in. But make sure that what you believe in does not break others. Because this world does not revolve around you alone. It belongs to all of us. And there's none among us who, you know, who is more superior or more important than others. So make sure that what you believe in does not end in embarrassment. Because you overestimating yourself. Or does not bring karatagoma to you and to people around you. So, we see people taking stones and, you know, wanting to fight because of a political party. You get into prison. You know, those political leaders will not even come and bail you out because they never sent you to go and fight. They want their, and you see, politicians want their name clean. They want their names clean. They can only put their name down when there is a benefit. That's when you see them, you know, wanting their names to be a little bit tarnished here and there. It's beneficial to them. So, if you think you're being fanatic, you are pleasing anybody else. No, you are only gratifying the vacuum that exists in your mind. That's when you need to use your brain so that you understand. You know, you reason it out. So, and we will continue next week on the Realm of the Historics. I want to encourage you to keep listening to radio and it's only Eagle FM and others. So, here is where you get your correct injection. Full, it comes in a full package. You get your correct injection here. This is your only bodybuilding food. Any other food is junk. And you're not supposed to eat junk food. Because you know what comes with it. Okay? So please stop eating junk food. Eat bodybuilding food. That's my encouragement. So, and from me, Eagle FM's only most advanced and self-propelled Katusha. The only reliable kinetic energy in town. The cradle of all inspiration in the break of dawn. I say to you, be productive, because we still need you to be part of our family of conversations. So don't do something that will endanger your life. Don't engage yourself into things that will rob you the capacity to participate in the mainstream economy, because we need you to be the participant in the development and advancement of our society. Is a goodbye from me, and God bless you.